Good afternoon, this wonderful crowd, and welcome to our meeting. Welcome, everybody. It is now 1:30 PM on November 7th, 2023, and time to reconvene the regular meeting of the Snohomish County PUD Board of Commissioners. I'm Rebecca Wolf, President of the Commission. To my right is Commissioner Sid Logan, Vice President. To my left, Commissioner Tony Olson, Secretary. John Harlow, CEO, General Manager. In the middle, Colin Willenbrock here, General Counsel, Melissa Collins, Commissioner and Executive Services Director, Allison Morrison at the desk, the entry desk, Clerk of the Board, and Morgan Stolzner, Deputy Clerk of the Board, right here. The written record will indicate others who are present. Please turn off or mute your cell phones or other electronic devices. Copies of the agenda are located on the Deputy Clerk's table near the entrance. Are there any items to be added or changes to be made to the public's agenda?
Not this afternoon, no.
Comments from the public is item 3 on the agenda, and that is when the board will hear comments for items that are not listed on today's agenda. Comments will be limited to 5 minutes, and persons shall be recognized to speak from the sign-up cards located on the Deputy Clerk's table near the entrance. If you're joining by Zoom, click raise hand or dial *9 on your phone. Attendees will be called on to speak at the appropriate time. This meeting is being recorded. When addressing the board during the meeting, please step up to the podium, use the microphone, state and spell your name, and indicate where you're from. Please remain at the podium while you speak and address the commissioners, not the audience. If you have documents or other materials to enter into the record, please hand them to the deputy clerk, who will distribute them to the board. We appreciate your cooperation with our procedures. Please note that all motions receive an automatic silent separate from the board. This ensures that all issues can be brought to the floor for discussion. Please join me for the flag salute. Please stand. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America, to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Well, we have a very special recognition today. Our employee for the month of November is Slade Wills, and Paul Kiss will introduce Slade Wills. Welcome, Paul. This is quite a crowd you've got.
Pretty awesome crowd, yes. All right.
Great.
Thank you very much, Commissioners. Great to see you again. And yeah, we're extremely honored, very honored to have Slade behind me and his wife, Stacy. Definitely the better half, for sure. just quote John Harlow 2 minutes ago in the hallway. Who ever thought Slade would be here? So.
We're supposed to disclose that.
Everyone else is thinking of John.
Like a roast.
Yeah. You know, very seriously, it's very honored again with Slade here. So I've gotten to know Slade quite well over the last few years. Came here in 18, got to know him. I was in front of a safety meeting right up front there at Ops there. Had been here maybe a month or two, and good buddy Slade here kind of burned me pretty hard up there and made a comment up there about pole meters or whatnot, and it ended in a conversation out in the hallway with John and Slade. But great conversation. We evolved out of that of a lot of new practices and work practices and just for safety for the district. So at that point, I thought, Slade's an important guy, or he's definitely a dedicated guy. So that kind of started for me getting to know Slade a lot better there. I'm just going to back up and kind of give a little bit of bio on Slade here. Started in 1997 as a part-time flagger. Previous to that, he worked on a tugboat and a fishing boat up in Alaska right out of high school. In 98, he got a full-time position here at the district as a flagger. A little bit past 1974, wherever Dave is here when he started in Grand Coulee there, but a little bit past there. But he started his career at that time. In 2000, he became a line helper with the district. And then 2004 was awarded a line apprenticeship here at the district. So if you ever want some good stories, this is a good one. This is kind of where John's coming from and a lot of the people is, if you ever wanted some good stories, grab Greg and Slade, put them in the same room and have some conversations about the apprenticeship. So it's very lively times there. Topped out in 2007, and after that, he was a journeyman lineman at the Operations Center and up in Arlington over the years. In 2019, became a line foreman there at Ops. Did that for a couple of years, and then in 21 is really where he started his latest career path, where he's really shown in the line training department up there as assistant line training with Carlos. Just been instrumental. We were very passionate about training here at the district. Mr. Fawcett up here a couple months ago, and it just Slade and his whole team up there are just really, really changing the trajectory of the company here. Come with any challenges, he tackles every single one of them. He's been very involved in our equipment operator and training program. He was the team of the month here a few months ago on that. The apprenticeship, very involved in that. Entry helper testing, operator testing, all our onboarding. Again, who would have thought? Again, we think about this all the time. Slade is the first person who's having an entry helper start this Monday. He's the first person, all our linemen, operators, entry helpers, apprentices, outside hires that we get, he's the first person that works with them. Brings them down to HR, does all the onboarding with them, gets them set up with all their online training, and then trains them throughout that first week. So very, very proud. Very proud of what Slade does. Again, everyone thought it a few years ago of Slade being our first person, right? First person where these kids and all these employees meet him. But he's definitely a dedicated employee, and we're just very, very thankful for that. So Carlos has a few words here he wants to say as well.
Welcome, Carlos.
Thank you, Commissioners. I know Slade for quite a while. I worked with his dad originally in line training, so I kind of see where Slade got his work ethic from. He's part of it. Personally, as far as him becoming the assistant in line training, I don't think I could ask for anybody better right now. His dedication and his professionalism as far as onboarding and involving it with line training, I feel like I got lucky, because it's kind of hard. I'm getting ready to retire, so I'm thinking of who's going to take my place. I don't have a worry about that right now. It's laid there, and as much as he takes on these challenges and the way he gets them completed, the way he helps me out, he should almost be the lead right now. Close as I'm getting, but thankfully he's not going to kick me out yet. Anyway, I think he's well deserving of this recognition. I'm happy that he was selected. So personally, I thank Slade every day for his dedication and his loyalty. And as far as the district's concerned, I don't think you can end up with anybody better. You know, we kind of joke about his inboarding first person that they meet. Well, Slade is very professional at that. You know, he's not the Slade of old. And there's a lot of laughter because, you know, Slade had a reputation of really stating exactly how he feels.
Amen.
There was no buffer. He has learned a little bit of a buffer. I can't say it's a big one, but so again, congratulations to Slade, and he's very well deserving of this recognition.
I don't have much to say. I'm not allowed to talk in public.
That's just what Amanda says. You're all right. You're right.
Were you going to say something or come?
No.
Hey, you can go on forever. Hi. We'll finally meet you. Oops, sorry. Congrats. Congratulations.
Congratulations.
Thanks. We are very lucky. Very, very lucky to have you and all your crew here.
Yeah.
All your friends.
We've got enough for a football game.
No, more than.
Both sides.
Both two teams.
Yeah.
Well, I will start by saying, where there's a will, there's a way. I like that. And this is for your whatever desk or window or whatever.
Okay, I'll go see the white trailer.
I'm sure your wife, yeah. Your wife will find a good spot for it.
Yeah.
We just are so grateful to you, always.
Want me to start?
Sure. I'll go first.
I never finish. You know, I read that that, you know, self-driven to come up through the ranks like you have is commendable, because that's not an easy road to go. And I think that that is probably one of the underpinnings of your success as a trainer. And you said it evolved.
Yeah.
But that's the kind of guy I like, you know, just say it like it is. That's the way I am, and I get myself into trouble. So I, reading that, I thought, you know, this is a great example. And then when I see that you actually are the first person that works with the folks coming on board to the utility, that's damn good. So, congratulations.
Well, I should have gone first because she stole my lines. You know, thank you for calling out, you know, problems that you see.
Yeah.
You know, vocally, because it may be uncomfortable, may be painful, but it's the only way we get better. And not just about safety, but about everything. So thank you. And then thank you for stepping up to help solve those problems and
yeah,
make
I saw
the next
that.
The next group safer. So
I'll bet you enjoy it.
Oh, you'll have fun.
On Tuesdays and Wednesdays,
yeah.
Or
all the time. All the time.
We have your Christmas card right here. So yeah.
And you must have collected a T-shirt, sweatshirt. The ones that we've been the employees of the month have all been choosing that color. Is there some?
It was the only color they had. I got an email that says you can pick green or green.
Yeah. Practical.
Green or
forest. Yeah.
Thanks for bringing it up, huh?
Was there anybody in the audience that had anything to say?
I just want to set
that's
the
nice.
Record straight. So Slade was one of the first people that I met when I got here. And Slade does tell it like it is. And I think the first conversation we had, it felt like it went on for hours. And we had lots of opportunity. And I think, if I recall correctly, I went home to my wife and I said, maybe I bit off more than I can chew. But you have made a difference, a huge difference in safety, in just the environment as a whole, not just in the line department, across the district. So huge kudos to you and congratulations, and very, very well deserved.
Thank you.
Could you introduce your wife?
Oh, my wife, Stacy.
Stacy. Is there anybody that's got a phone that they could take a picture of us, including his wife? Oh. Well, but he was turning. He had his back to you. Get over here.
Come in.
I'm just thinking, nobody wants to take a picture.
I always take a picture.
It's great.
Thank you.
Come on. Commissioners, let's let the two of them take a picture. Oh, you want to? Oh,
sure. Sure. Do over
here 12. I am, being bossy. Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
And you're retiring, huh?
Next April.
April 12th.
156 more days.
Oh. Thanks all for coming.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
If you want to stay, you can. Maybe you have to get back to work.
Take the direction.
Stan,
please go bring in.
Thank you.
Next on our agenda is comments from the public. Do we have anybody on the phone? We have nobody in person, or do we? Any comments?
Not in person, we do have a few online.
Oh, okay, great. Laura Cox, hi Laura.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, you might have to speak up really strong.
Okay, I'll try that. How about now? Is that better?
Perfect, perfect.
Okay,
yeah.
Great. Thank you. The audio during the employee recognition was it kind of cut out every once in a while, and I hope that it doesn't do that for me, but I kind of bet it will.
We were away from our mics. Sorry about that, Lori.
Oh, okay, good, good. Thank you very much for letting me infiltrate the snowpad once again. I really appreciate that. I hope you guys have all been well in the last few years. I want to ask you a question. In my memory, when David Aldrich was commissioner, there was some talk about maybe this PUD taking over internet services in at least part of the county. I don't know if that is an idea on the table or if it could be resurrected, or maybe I just dreamt it, but the experience that we have up by the river with the internet, you know, Frontier was bad and Ziply is abysmal, and the phone, the landline and the internet are together. So when one goes down, both goes down now. And we're in a little bit of a depression with a big hill that keeps us from having direct cell phone connections. So I don't know. I think Snowpug could do a lot better job at internet than Ziply can. And I would like to know if that's ever been discussed, if it might be discussed, and there's anything I can do to help, please let me know. Thank you.
Laura, if you would send that in a note to the commission, there will be people who will answer all your questions. Okay.
Okay.
We're not able to interact on this, you know, during comments from the public, but there are answers. We will get them to you.
Next, you have Donald Miller.
Okay, Donald.
Hi there. Are you able to hear me okay?
You bet.
Oh, pleasure to be here today. The board has mentioned uncertainty and risk inherent in the complex changes happening in the industry. The updated integrated resource plan gives assessment and planning for these risks. BPA hydropower continues as a core base, but as the board has noted, this reliable source is having more variation with climate change. Both the federal and state government continue to review the uncertainties surrounding the lower Snake River dams and salmon recovery. Creating and supporting the plans that specifically meet these challenges would eliminate unknowns and decrease risks for the Northwest. I would encourage the board to review developments in the industry from a variety of sources to maintain maximum insight for our public utility district. The board could, for example, request a presentation of information from Northwest Energy Coalition, which is also deeply involved in our clean energy transformation. The future development of Pacific Coast offshore wind is not mentioned in the integrated resource plan. Northwest Energy Coalition could present and dialogue on this topic and other aspects of clean energy transformation. I'd encourage the board of directors to take full advantage of Snohomish County PUD's membership in Northwest Energy Coalition to help keep abreast of our complex energy future. thanks for your work and thanks for this opportunity to speak.
Thank you, Don. Is there anyone else on the phone?
There's none.
Okay, that closes our comments from the public. We're going to the consent agenda. Approval of the minutes for the regular meeting of October 17th, 2023. Bid awards, professional services contracts, and amendments, and consideration of certification, ratification, and approval of district checks and vouchers. I'll call for a motion.
I move approval.
Are there any comments from the public regarding the consent agenda?
There are not.
Okay. Commissioner Olson, do you have any questions?
I have no questions.
Commissioner Logan?
I have none, thank you.
Okay. And I have none either. Are there any further questions from either of you? No. I'll call for the vote. Please vote aye if you approve, and nay if you do not.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. The motion is approved unanimously. Now we'll have a public hearing on, we'll continue the 2024 proposed budget hearing. We'll now reconvene a public hearing on the 2024 proposed budget. I'll introduce Sarah Bond to facilitate the presentation and discussion. Welcome, Sarah.
Thank you. Good afternoon, commissioners.
Good afternoon.
So I'm here today to present the second of four public hearings for the proposed budget. Today is just for presentation and discussion. Approval will be requested on December 5th. So we're going to be covering a little bit more in detail than we did in October. We're going to cover some detail for our electric system, generation and water, and we're also going to talk a little about our strategic plan. We're going to jump into the electric system first, our 24 proposed budget. These are the numbers that were presented to you in October as well as in the budget book, and I'm going to go through the majority of these today in a little more detail. We're going to start with the energy retail sales by jumping in a little bit and looking at our assumptions that we have for our retail revenues. So we start with our loads. We learned a little bit about that today from Felician. In 2024, the load growth was relatively flat compared to 2023. You see residential is this first green bars here. They're about 57% of our load, our residential customers, about $400 million in 2024. Commercial customers, we're looking at about 36% of our load, $215 million in 2024. And the industrial customers, about 6% of our load. So you can see just from the graph, even if you add these all together, it's relatively flat from a megawatt standpoint compared to previous years. Oops, and last, it's always kind of fun to show our 10 largest customers. These are in the commercial and industrial sector. They make up about 10% of our total retail energy sales. We talked a little bit in October about some of the cost pressures we've been seeing. We have done some work to minimize any rate pressures that we have. We're looking at bond proceeds. We've gone through some cost containment, and the district is committed to keeping rates below inflation. So this graph shows that even with the 3.8% general rate increase that we're looking at in April, we still are expecting to maintain below inflation with those rates. Part of our retail sales is our income qualified discount program. We do ensure that we have funding in the budget, which is shown as a reduction of retail sales to help support this program. This year, we're expecting 2024, we're budgeted to expect about $77.5 million. If you look at the graph, you can see a little bit that this is an uptick from prior years. We learned a little bit about some of the additional things that they're doing to make this program as robust as possible by adding in some automatic enrollment pathways. So anyway, again, this is shown as a reduction of retail sales, but wanted to show that there is definitely some growth in this program. Looking at our other revenues, these are other operating revenues other than our sales to customers. We've got a variety. The largest bucket over here on the right is our energy wholesale sales. This is our sale of excess power onto the market. This is been an interesting one that we've kept an eye on all year, and as well as the power side, which I'll talk about in a minute. But we, our assumptions this year is that we will continue to see higher than average market prices. And this is a benefit to us on the energy retails, on the revenue side, but we're going to see the offset on the power side. So we're expecting a budgeting about $87 million in 2024. There's a few other buckets in here that I'm highlighting. So miscellaneous service revenue, there's quite a few things in here. The largest one that I wanted to point out is that our energy efficiency programs, we do receive an offset from BPA of about $8 million. This is where it's budgeted. So that's a big chunk of that revenue. This is, for the most part, all of the other revenues are pretty close to what we budgeted in 2023. There aren't any major changes that we're anticipating. We're going to switch over to the expenditure side of our budget now. We're going to talk a little bit about purchase power. So you can tell just by the size of these pie pieces that EPA is the majority of our power. We've got both block and slice. We're over 50% of our total budget. There's a little bit of an increase in 2024 compared to 23 budget. We're expecting about 3.3% higher rates for BPA, as well as a little bit of a higher volume. So we are seeing a slight increase in BPA from prior years. The next piece, we already talked a little bit about market purchases. Again, very hot topic in 2023, something that we've been keeping an eye on. Similarly to how we're treating our wholesale energy sales, we're expecting our purchases to remain high as well. We saw pretty big numbers, we're seeing pretty big numbers in 2023, and we're expecting that to continue to some extent in 2024. I've included a graph that just kind of shows the average price and what we've been seeing compared to history. So made some assumptions in here to hopefully get us close to where we're gonna end up in 2024. And then another large piece of our power portfolio are our renewable energy projects, which are primarily made up of wind projects, but we also have our Hampton Lumber Mill and our Packwood Hydro. And then last but not least, we have our PUD generation system, which I'm going to spend a few slides to talk about as well. So this is a look at our purchase power. The only major difference between 23 and 24 is our treatment of market purchases. And look really quickly at our operating and maintenance. This is basically just keeping the lights on here at the district. And what I decided to do this year is kind of break it down into all the what we call divisions here at the district. It just kind of highlight a little bit about what they do. Our largest O&M component is our distribution engineering services. They do a lot out there. They're 28% of our O&M budget. This includes all of our maintenance and operations of our electric system, emergency work, vegetation management, our ECC, the community offices. So this is a really important bucket here. Also included in O&M are our transmission and ancillary services. This is the cost to get the power to our customers. We pay this primarily to BPA. That's the next largest chunk. And this is relatively flat compared to 2023. Our next largest division is our customer energy services. This includes our whole customer service operations, all of our key accounts, and plus energy services, which is our energy efficiency programs. We've got our information technology services. They're the ones who keep us in technology and keep us going every day. This also includes our cybersecurity and data and analytics. We've got finance, my favorite division here at the district, insurance and claims, accounting, budgeting, meter reading, customer accounting, so all of the functions back office. Other is just kind of a hybrid of some of the other smaller departments. Facilities, they're the ones who improve our district facilities. It's all our custodial services, all of the planning, and then our human resources department, which we don't need.
What was the percent of the pie for D&E services in the 2023 budget?
I don't have that handy, but I could certainly find it. I would guess it's relatively close.
Okay.
This pie doesn't change significantly from year to year.
Okay.
But we usually, everybody kind of stays relatively the same. But I'll definitely get that number to you. There we go. Well, now we're going to switch to capital. So those are some of the major projects that we have that we're planning to do in 2024. And we'll start with what we kind of, they're kind of our ongoing capital projects where we have different projects within the categories, but we generally have these categories. Capital assets is one of our larger capital programs. These are kind of the ongoing replacements and maintenance of our assets. So pole replacements and relocations, switchgear replacements, that sort of thing. This year's budget about $29.5 million. We have our expansion program. This is really for new additions to our electric system. So these are major projects. Two of the big ones that we're highlighting this year are the Crosswind substation and the Camino substation rebuild. And our upgrade program is what exactly how it sounds is pretty much upgrades to our existing substations or other equipment for bringing more capacity or reliability. So we're highlighting two of them this year. We've got Substandwood to Camino rebuild, Jennings Park substation are two of the major projects in this program in 24. Continuing on our capital, we also have the cost of our vehicles and equipment. The capital budget is for replacing old or worn equipment, and it's a variety of things from line trucks to pickup trucks to bulldozers. So there's all of the equipment here at the district is in this program. And then we have our customer service program, which is really, we've called it many things. It's really the majority of this work is reimbursed. This is the work we do for customers. This includes all of our line extensions and meters. It's mostly reimbursable work. Moving on, facilities has also a pretty robust capital program. The largest project they have in 2024 is the completion of the North County office. There's a few other projects in there, but this is the biggest one that they'll be focusing on. And this is going to be primarily funded by bond proceeds. We've got our ConnectUp project, 2024 is continuing our meter replacement. This also, again, is going to be funded by bond proceeds.
I have a question on the previous slide, ConnectUp.
Oh, ConnectUp. Thank
you. Does that include the work on the water side?
This is just the electric component. Yes, the water side has their own budget for that. Right. I believe I have at least a little number in there in this presentation that I'll talk about. So that's what we have on the electric slide. I'll be coming back in 2 weeks to talk a little bit about some of the proposed changes we have. We've been continuing to do work on the budget even as we go through this process. So we'll be talking a little bit more about that. But I'm going to switch to generation system. We showed the piece of the purchase power that makes up the generation system. So the electric system is buying that power, and this is what it looks like to them. About $25 million is the cost of the electric system that generation system receives. And just really quickly jump ahead. I included a pie chart here this year that kind of shows where we're getting the power from in the generation system based on megawatt hours. So the majority of it's from Jackson, as we would know, but there's also we're really purchasing from all of our systems, ends up being about $25 million. And this year, the generation system is focused on completing the ongoing programs they've been working on. It's continuation of long-term strategic planning for habitat stability and just levelizing O&M and capital projections. The 23 budget and the 24 budget are very comparable for generation systems, so they've done a really good job of keeping their costs stable. Well, there's a lot of O&M that happens in generation system, but we're going to focus today just on a few of the major capital projects that are going on in generation. And I actually, the first time in April, I believe it was, I got to go out to Jackson and actually see some of this stuff. And it really is interesting the difference it makes to see the equipment, to realize what you're talking about a little bit. So it was pretty exciting to actually see these. So one of our big capital projects is the purchase of two new valves for units 3 and 4 at Jackson. And one of the bigger projects that is also going to be in the forecast for a while is the redesigning of the Jackson switchyard. So in 2024, they're replacing some oil-filled circuit breakers and some new transformers. So some of the exciting work that's going on in the generation system. We move on to water, unless there's any further questions or any questions.
Go back one slide, just one slide. Okay. So we're replacing the oil-filled circuit breakers. We're purchasing three new transformers. So when we went on that tour not too long ago, we were talking about how you reuse the oil. Is that a different? That's different. Okay. Thank you. I was curious.
I do have, oh, excuse me, you didn't ask me yet. I have a question, but you forgot. Oh, you didn't ask me, so I don't want to interrupt.
Ms. Olson, do you have a question?
Yes, I do. Is the grant money, I mean, I believe that we have to match, is that in here, or is that not anticipated for 2024?
Chief, if you want to answer, so feel free. Currently, we do not have anything in the budget for the GRIP grant. This is relatively new information.
Yes.
We'll be, you know, most likely be assessing as we get new information in 2024 and then having some discussions about how it'll impact.
Are they still negotiating?
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And do you have any questions or things?
I do not at this time, thank you.
I have a question.
You have another one?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So, as I recall, it isn't until the board's consideration of the final budget that you show the, let's say, projects that weren't done this year, the money that will be rebudgeted. Does this have that in there?
No, that would not be in this proposed budget. That will be in November 21st, will come with any proposed changes to the budget,
okay.
And that would be included in there. In November 21st. So that's also what we'll talk about the 5-year forecast.
Thank you.
Do you have any further questions or comments?
No.
I'll call for a motion.
I have a few more slides still.
Oh, you're
yeah,
still.
Okay, I'm sorry, I haven't got the water yet.
For you. Yeah.
Oh, Brandon doesn't want to be left out. So.
Yeah. I
take it. Oh, no. Okay, so water system, this is a look at their proposed budget. Again, it's the numbers that you saw that were in the budget book. I'm going to talk a little bit more about some of the assumptions behind these numbers. This is similar to what we showed on the water slide. On the electric side, it kind of shows how the water system rates track with inflation. And you can see that there was a point where that we were a little bit above, but we held rates flat on the water system for quite a while, but we're still under inflation. Water rates. So they're proposing a 3% rate increase. That's what's in the proposed budget. It's currently under review. We'll be coming back to you to talk about that further in the next meeting or afterwards. And again, some of the things that they've been dealing with is City of Everett wholesale rate increases, as well as the supply chain and all the other struggles that we're seeing on the electric side as well. And they did issue debt to help fund some of their capital going forward. Just a really quick look at their operating revenues. They are primarily sales to retail customers. The two assumptions in the revenues is they are expecting a little bit of customer growth, and then again, the rate increase that we just talked about. Wholesale water sales and other operating revenues are going to be pretty flat compared to 2023. On the operating expenditure side, their O&M, again, seeing rising inflation, supply chain, and other cost increases are putting pressure on these numbers, as well as the City of Everett, which we've mentioned, and we talked a little bit about this in October, that we're seeing a pretty significant increase from them of 8.1% in January of 2024. This slide just shows where does the water come from that they serve, that sell to their customers. The majority of it does come from the City of Everett, which is sourced from Spain Lake. And we also have some of our own treatment plants. This just kind of shows the relative amount, how much we're receiving from each of the sources. On the capital side, here, Commissioner Olson, is where you see the water AMI number. It's kind of in the middle of the graph, down towards the bottom. They've got about $3.7 million budgeted out there.
All right, I heard that.
Yeah, so I kind of like this graph. So it just kind of shows the relative where all of the projects are. So two of the bigger ones that we're highlighting, they're doing a SCADA upgrade next year. and there are possible main extensions. And you can see some of the other items in the graph.
Okay, so you don't need to follow up with a question I have.
So I've got a question on the slide. So we've been talking about replacing some of those old remains. I'm curious how our progress is coming and how much this budget will.
Good afternoon, Brant Wood, AGM of the Water Utility. So this budget does include Silver Hill Road, a main extension replacement. It also includes about $1.7 million, I think, in main replacements associated with relocation projects. We've got a rather large one in the Marine View Drive area where the county is going to build the fish culvert, and we have to run some main around to actually feed those customers while. So the biggest one as far as the replacements is the Silver Hill Road one. We're proposing right now, I think that the plan was in 20 years, so from 2008, have all of the old AC, all the old main replaced by 2028. I did have to slide a little bit a few years in the budget, but we're still on track to probably in the 2032 range be able to get all those projects done. I think we still have the, I want to say 17 miles, 14 to 17 miles of old pipe remaining in our system. And it gets hard as we take on these new systems, we end up getting more. So it's kind of a never ending situation at some point.
That's a lot of miles of pipe, isn't it?
Well, compared to the 400 some odd that we have, it's not too bad. I mean, so the majority of our pipe is in relatively good shape.
Of course.
You've been doing this for what, 10 years?
Yeah, really, I mean, you have a program.
We really made the commitment back in 2008. So we came to the board and we had a fairly significant series of rate increases. And so that's been the majority of our capital work over the last 10 years, really replacing that old name. So really good progress.
Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Ms. Wilson, do you have more questions or comments?
Oh, it's not on the water, no.
Just a few other projects to highlight. One of the bigger projects next year is they're going to be doing some work on their kayak reservoir number 2, and then they're going to be continuing to make some improvements at the their Moor Beach treatment plant. I'm going to shift away shortly from the budget to talk a little bit about the strategic plan and how it links with the budget. We do have some action, we call action plans, that have different projects that people are working on in 2024 that are directly related to the strategic plan. We just wanted to highlight just a few of those. Hopefully you're familiar with some of with our initiatives and objectives, bolster operational reliability and resiliency, just a few of the projects that we've highlighted in there. The battery storage project, our energy efficiency projects, our kayak reservoir support that. Enhance and evolve customer experiences. We've got our Connect Up project, mysnowflood.com, our energy services customer portal. Build a sustainable future with our communities. We're working on development of an environmental sustainable action plan. We're looking at plans to actions to reduce waste, helping our communities thrive. We've got, we're creating a community engagement framework, evaluating our new customer services, policies, and processes. And last but not least, our create the culture and capabilities needed for the future. We're looking at upgrading our success factors, onboarding replacement. We're working on some employee sentiment surveys and project and resource management tool. And these are just a really small example of some of the projects that are being worked on in 2024 towards the strategic plan. So my plan is in 2 weeks to come back and we'll have a little bit more discussion, and we'll be talking about any proposed changes that we would have to the budget to share with you, and then we'll present our 5-year forecast and reserve forecasts for the systems.
Questions?
Oh, I'm trying to formulate it. The electric system is seeing, with what's been presented, sizable increase from 2023 into 2024. And John has noted that in the key points, key assumptions. Does this include or anticipate a proposed customer rate increase? Has that been factored into this?
The 3.8% rate increase? Yes, that has been factored in.
Factored.
That has been factored into the proposed budget, correct.
Okay. And so what's coming before us next is the work that you want to move, that did get done, you want to move from this year to next year. It's not in here. And is the GRIP money going to, is that one of the things that would be incorporated?
So the first question, I think what you're referring to is what we kind of call rebudgeted projects back in the day.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, it's
trying to use the old terminology.
No, but we factor it in differently. So when they develop their capital budget for the next year, they're already looking at what they're not going to spend in the previous year, and it becomes part of the new budget. So it's not explicitly called out in the budget, but it is incorporated.
Oh, so it's incorporated.
Yeah.
But that's not incorporated yet.
No, it is incorporated.
Oh, it is. Okay, that's a question I asked earlier. Okay.
I apologize if I misunderstood.
I don't have any more questions. Now I understand.
It's just basically reforecasting where we land on the projects or where we anticipate where we land, and then carrying that in and factoring that into this budget for 24.
Yeah. Oh, this helps me a lot in terms of understanding the increase. And however, still, you, in terms of this year, there are some projects that you're going to move out even beyond 2024, right?
Yes. Yeah, they reevaluated all of those projects, ones that we deferred and other ones that were in this year and in the five-year plan. And what we've actually done is extend that planning horizon to move projects, prioritize projects, and move those out over the horizon as we can and need to, still with an eye on reliability and infrastructure improvements and upgrades.
Okay, you helped me a lot in understanding. I was misunderstanding something, so thank you.
Do you have comments or questions?
I don't, thank you.
Well, I am really impressed with what you've put together for this report. It's just a lot of great graphs and slides. It's very comprehensible.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. And I don't have any further questions or comments.
Just I want to go back, I think, to one of Commissioner Olson's your question about the electric rate increase. And that was, it's on slide 6 with the planning assumption.
Okay. I've been reading all my notes everywhere. So.
Yeah, no worries. I just wanted to make sure we're in sync. It shows a planning assumption of a rate increase of 3.8.
Okay. Yeah, 3.8 is what, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, Sarah.
All right, so I'll call for a motion to continue the public hearing on the 2024 budget.
I move the public hearing on the 2024 budget be continued to Tuesday, November 21, 2023 at 1:30 p.m. at 2320 California Street in Everett, Washington.
You'll call for the vote. Please vote aye if you approve, and nay if you do not.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. The motion is approved. Now we're going to move on to items for individual consideration. Consideration of a motion accepting the third quarter 2023 financial conditions and activities monitoring report. I'll call for a motion.
I move acceptance.
I'll introduce Sean Unstock, who will provide a presentation. We wait until after to ask. Okay, gotcha.
Thank you, commissioners. I am Sean Unstock, senior manager, controller, and auditor. I'm happy to present the third quarter results for 2023. As mentioned on the slide, that our last presentation was on August 8th for the second quarter, and the information that is in the presentation are actuals for this year compared to actuals for last year. The budget actual information is actually in your packet. Sarah Bond will present that later as part of item 8C on the agenda. I'll try to not knock the mic over this time. So again, this is a high-level information summary of results for third quarter 2023. At the bottom, we have net income for through the third quarter is reduced by $12 million, but it's still a positive number, $36 million. The operating revenue has increased by $44 million, and we'll touch on some detail on that on the next slide. The operating expenses have increased by $76 million. The bulk of that is in the purchase power category. We'll touch on some details on that on a later slide also. As noted at the bottom, we through the third quarter, we've had $113 million of capital expenses. And just real quickly, some of these were mentioned by Sarah Bond earlier in her presentation. But the expenditure to date on some of the larger capital projects, $29.7 million for the North County office, Connect Up AMI, $22.5 million, Sky Valley Substation, $12.4 million, and $11.2 million for the Kent Stanwood Community Line Transmission Line. So those are some of the larger capital projects that are included in the $113 million. And feel free to stop me at any time as well. Some additional consideration of the operating revenues. You can see that retail sales are up by $11 million. And we'll notice Sarah Bond mentioned it earlier, and I have a little more detail on a future slide. The billed kilowatt hours relatively flat, but we also include a rate increase in 22 and a rate change in 22, as well as an increase to the base rate. So the $479 million for operating, or excuse me, retail sales includes about $11 million base fee revenue. The wholesale revenue is relatively flat, as you can see. Other revenue has gone up by $34 million. $23 million of that is the BPA reserve distribution credit that we received through the third quarter. We've also had $6 million from BPA for conservation achievements, and $2 million from late fees once those were restarted. The megawatt hours billed for residential customers, that is relatively flat, and we'll see a little more information on that on a future slide. The revenue has gone up by just a bit, as I mentioned earlier, and the total revenue includes $11 million of the base fee. The commercial and industrial is relatively flat as well, and compared to 2022, and the volume of wholesale sales has gone down, and we'll see a contributing factor to that later on in a future slide. But we had, if you look at the revenue from wholesale sales, that's relatively flat. But however, as you can see in the slide, we've had a decrease in the kilowatt hours sold, but a higher rate per kilowatt hour. So the product of that ends up with a relatively flat revenue for this year compared to the prior year. On the operating expense side, the O&M expenses are higher than the prior year. However, those are slowing down. We have had to, or we have reprioritized maintenance and planned projects in order to help offset the increase in the next item, the $61 million variance on the purchase power costs. Total purchase power costs are 24% higher than 2022. And we've had to go out to the market for increased volume of market purchases, and we'll see that illustrated on the next slide. We've gone out to market for those purchases at the same time everyone else has as well, resulting in a higher rate per kilowatt hour as well. We have taken, Sarah, I believe mentioned earlier, we have taken a conservative approach with the purchase power costs in the 24 budget, and they have increased the budgeted expense for purchase power for 2024. So the megawatt hours power supply, these are purchases, excuse me, BPA block, you can see is relatively flat. The issue that we've been having with purchase power is really a result of the decreased output from the BPA slice. It has been a significant decrease in the BPA slice between the kilowatt hours for this year as compared to prior year. And not only has the output available to us that we can resell to our customers been less, it's also been at a higher rate from BPA as well. So that decrease in the BPA slice then has resulted in the increase in the market purchases. You can see the second to bottom on this graph. So the difference in the BPA slice, we've had considerable less output available. So we've had to increase our market purchases at so the volume is significantly higher and the rate is higher as well. And because we have had to purchase power from market purchases in order to resell that to our customers for their own need, we've had less market purchases available to sell externally as well, because we've needed those market purchases to meet the needs of our own customers. So that just ties back to an earlier comment on the revenue side. So again, the BPA slice has decreased this year, 41% decrease in the output and a 41% increase in the rate. The district generation is down as well. We've had the same environmental factors that BPA and others have been influenced by. So we've had less water behind the dams and other small hydro projects. And we had a significant melting of the ice pack in May at a time that we didn't particularly need it, which just further decreases the reserves available to sell later on, the output available to sell later on.
Sean, I'm concerned a little bit about that cost, $79 per megawatt. Is it possible to get some detail on that number for this year and last year by project?
Sure.
To understand.
That's for the district generation?
Yeah.
Yes.
We can get it for 22 and 23.
You bet.
Thank you. The district generation from $57 per megawatt hour to $79.
Yeah, in general, at a real high level, the theory behind that is the generation we turn around and resell to the electric utility. So if we have fewer megawatt hours against which to spread that cost, then the cost per megawatt hour is going to automatically go up. But we can't do this.
Yeah, I just also just like to understand what each project.
I believe there was one slide that Sarah showed that had how much each of our hydro projects produce, but I don't know how that compares with this year. But it was less overall.
We just get a consensus on the board that that's a request.
Pardon?
We just get a consensus across the board that that's a request for staff to return.
Is that a request? I think we have that.
Commissioner Logan. Yes to Commissioner Logan's request. Is that what I'm guessing?
Yes.
So the request is for more information, more breakout, more detail.
Yes, for 22 and 23.
District generation.
Yes, right.
Okay.
Thank you. And you look at those market costs. We gotta be getting more control of our future.
Refers to battery storage.
I know, I was just gonna come out of my mouth.
Yeah. So just again, in summary, net income through the third quarter of 2023 is down, but still positive, $36 million. Operating revenue is up, and the operating expenses are up as well. Moving on to the financial indicators, our operating reserves are still strong. And you can see that the current ratio, which is current assets divided by current liabilities, essentially the cash position versus the liabilities, has increased, improved as well. Outstanding bonds has gone down as we've paid off, made principal payments on the debt, and the debt service coverage has gone down. That's kind of a function of two things. The dollar volume or the dollar amount of the debt has gone down, as illustrated, 550, I believe that's millions, yeah, millions, compared to 524, or 29 rather, but net income has gone down as well too. So it's a function of the net income and debt service. And our bond ratings remain the same as well for electric. As I mentioned earlier, and Sarah mentioned in her presentation on the 24 budget as well, the retail demand is relatively flat for electric. The increase here from 22 to 23 for retail megawatt hours billed is an increase of 1.5%. So again, relatively flat. Wholesale sales have gone down. We mentioned that earlier. We've had to turn around and use that wholesale power for our own internal customers rather than building that externally. Net write-offs to sales and net write-offs year to date have gone down. That's primarily a function of the grant, utility arrearage grant that we received in December of last year and June of this year. That was a total of $16.3 million benefiting 27,000 households in Snohomish County.
This is a
good question. Yeah. And the average cost per megawatt hour has gone up as well. That's I mentioned earlier we did have an increase in the cost of the BPA, but it's primarily driven by the difference between the two of the market purchases. And new customer connections are increasing, that albeit at a bit of a slower rate compared to the prior year. 2600, nearly 2600 additional customer connections this year. Moving on to the water system, again, net income for water is higher than the prior year by $291,000. The retail sales are higher as well. That's a function of, illustrated on a little later slide, but higher volume of water sold, as well as the price has gone up as well per CCF. And the purchased water expense has gone up as well. That was mentioned before earlier in Sarah's presentation. In this year in 23, a 7.9% rate increase by the city of Everett. Water system financial condition indicators. The operating reserve has gone down despite having positive net income. It's primarily related to revenue funded capital expenses. So we did have the bond issuance earlier, but that will show up in the next update to the commission. So that's not included in these numbers. So up to that point, we've had revenue-funded capital expenses, capital investment that have occurred within the water system. So that's why operating reserve went down, although we did have positive net income for the water system. The outstanding debt has gone down as well as we've made principal payments. The senior lien debt service coverage has gone up, again, a function of debt going down, and at the same time, net income has gone up. And no changes through September 30th on the bond rating for water system. Operating indicators for the water system, the retail sales have gone up by 10.7%, wholesale by 44%. We've had more than, I think, anticipated or expected wholesale sales to the city of Arlington. So I think that's one of the primary driving factors in the increase in the wholesale sales volume. And purchase water costs have gone up as well, again, primarily related to the cost increase in the city of Everett. We've had 184 new water connections so far through the September 30th, again, a small decrease in that number from the prior year. And with that, are there any questions?
I have no questions.
I have no more questions. Thank you.
I have none either.
Great. Thank you.
It's very interesting.
Thank you.
And no questions from the public either.
Thank you. Okay. There being no questions, further comments, or questions, I'll call for the vote. Please vote aye or nay.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. The motion is, the motion is passed unanimously. Now consider a resolution, amending the district's energy risk management policy statement to increase the energy risk management horizon, reflect the role of a qualified independent representative, and update the responsibilities of the finance department.
I move approval.
Angela Johnston is available to answer any questions regarding the resolution.
We briefed at our last meeting.
We were briefed at our last meeting, a marathon briefing.
Do you have any comments or questions regarding this new policy statement?
I do. Thank you. I did listen to it last year.
And I have no questions or comments. Are there any other questions or comments from the commissioners?
I have none.
Okay, I'll call for the vote. Please vote aye or nay.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. The motion is approved. Now we'll move on to the CEO General Manager's report. Are there any reports, John?
Yeah, I have a couple items to share with the board. First, for QuipCon team, last week the district hosted an IRP open house at the Arlington Microgrid. A huge kudos to Harbor Communications, our rates team, energy services, energy storage, and emerging technologies, and the IRP project team for their hard work. It was fabulous customer engagement, and the event was a huge success. Jenny LaMarca and Heather Hurst hosted two virtual paper circuits workshops this past week for fourth and fifth grade teachers in our service area. The content of the workshop targeted the next generation science standards. They mailed out 40 classroom kits for students to build various projects and incorporate circuits with LED light bulbs. And the ARC trailer team, along with Carolyn Beebe and Casey Dahlbeck, attended the Lake Stevens Harvest Festival last week and gave out lots of advanced power strips and other fun PUD swag, and of course, lots of candy. Never a night off for community engagement. From our customer and energy services group, the three top items. District continues to open up new ways for our customers to participate in our income qualified discount program. Recently launched a new partnership with the Tulalip tribes and the TANF, which is a temporary assistance for needy families. Customers who are approved through their tribe's TANF assistance can be auto-enrolled into our discount grade program. Makes it easier for customers to apply through one assistance process. This in addition to our other current partners at Everett Housing Authority, three reduced school lunch programs, Project Pride, and county weatherization are more of those efficiencies that we're creating on the for the income qualified program. We're already seeing the positive effects of AMI meters reaching a disconnect for non-payment status out in the field. These customers are benefiting from the immediate restoration after payment and don't have to pay the extra fees involved with building a truck to reconnect service. So, not to mention it's the safety aspects of not having to roll the truck as well. And then finally, we finished the month of October answering 87% of our incoming customer calls within 30 seconds or less. It shows resilience and dedication of our customer service teams despite customer impacts such as connect up inquiries and BPA pass-through rates and other such items that usually create an uptick in calls. So a huge kudos to our customer service team.
87% is over the 75 is their target. So that's great.
Yeah.
Great performance.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, John.
You're welcome.
I'm going to look, I'm going to find out what the next gen science standards are. I always like to know what's changing in the education standards. Okay.
I have a question on that.
Oh, I'm ready.
Yeah. So the customer that we turned off, are they able to just call up and take care of the financial part and then get reconnected over the phone?
Yep.
Yeah, wow, that's wonderful.
And the financial part doesn't include rolling the vehicles. That's a substantial thing. It's products. Products, for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you. That's it on your.
That's it.
It's good.
Are you going to pay your bill on time next month?
Yes, I am.
And we're now moving on to the design of Rick. Please proceed. We'll move on to commission reports. Commissioner Olson, do you have any reports?
No.
Commissioner Loden?
I do not.
Okay. I know that both of us attended the both of us attended PPC Public Power Council's annual meeting and PNUC's annual meeting, both of which were outstanding. And you attended virtually the Energy Northwest, and I attended in person Public Power Forum. And we learned a lot about different kinds of grants and how to apply and who's applying, what they're like. Also, forecasting risk. That was very interesting. There was a woman who did a report on this very sophisticated thing called a heat map. And so I talked with her after, and I said, what do you mean by heat? And it's like where the most risk is. It's kind of red in their graph. So I learned a lot just by talking to her afterwards. That's one of the values of going in person. If there's any confusion, you can get clarification. And she was very helpful. So I really enjoyed the opportunity to go and meet with people in person. And I think those are all of my reports. Any more?
No.
Okay. So we'll move on to the commissioner event calendar. Mr. Olson, do you have any changes? To the
no.
Mr. Logan, do you have any changes?
I have an Arlington Chamber meeting on November 14th.
November 14th?
Okay.
And I'll be going to the Linwood Chamber on the 15th. So, but that's on the calendar, so no changes. All right, so. Part C of our commission business is the Treasury budget forecast and major project status report, third quarter results. Sarah Bond is still here and still available to answer questions regarding the report.
I have no questions.
I am not. Thank you again for the report.
Yes, it was quite extensive and comprehensive. Are there any other questions or comments from the commissioners?
I have none today.
We'll move on to the September 2023 District Performance Dashboard. Mr. Olson, do you have any?
I have no questions.
Mr. Wilkman?
I have none either.
Yeah, it was very well done. A lot of it overlapped what we were hearing in some of the other reports. I mean, it was not overlapped, but reflected. Yet. And so I appreciated that. I don't think we have any other questions or comments. We'll now consider a resolution establishing the regular meeting dates of the commission for the year 2024. I'll call for a motion.
I move approval.
Mr. Olson, do you have any questions?
No.
Mr. Logan?
I do not.
And neither do I. I took a look at it and I thought it looked great. It looks like a really good year. Are there any other questions or comments from your commissioners?
I have none.
Call for a vote. Please vote aye or nay.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. The resolution is approved. Under the governance planning calendar, Commissioner Olson, do you have any changes to the planning calendar?
I have none.
Commissioner Logan, do you have any changes?
I do not.
And I do not either. So therefore, so any further business to come before the commission? There being none, hearing none, it is now 2:44 p.m. And the meeting is now adjourned.